Hey there, everybody. You are listening to 107.7 LPFM WVEW Brattleboro Community Radio, and you're listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I spent the day in bed, not really feeling too well, but here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. We're doing fine. So, the big news this week was all about the prom.
Yes, it was.
Now, what was your deal with prom? You went to your senior prom? You
I did not go to my senior prom, but I went to, like, everybody else's.
Why didn't you go to your own?
I wasn't allowed to go to my senior prom.
Did you try to go with another woman?
No. Nothing scandalous like that. What about... Wait, we already know about you.
Yes, I went with Mandy Filer.
We know Mandy Filer. Why did I even ask?
We haven't dedicated a show to Mandy Filer in just oh so long. So we miss you, Mandy.
And, we do.
And we'll talk about that. But the big story was out of Mississippi, where a school official in a rural Mississippi county told a student that she should go take guys to her prom instead. And that's a quote. They said guys.
Plural?
That's actually kind of funny. No, I don't know that that's what they were advocating for. But they were just saying males to her prom. Instead of her girlfriend. So the American Civil Liberties Union is now suing the Itawamba County School District and some officials at the Itawamba Agricultural High School on behalf of Constance McMillan, who's 18 years old, who wanted to escort her girlfriend to the prom and wear a tuxedo. So the hearing is expected for next Monday, and then they decided to cancel the prom. It's
but they
such
didn't actually have a problem with her wearing a tuxedo, from what I understand.
No, it was really just about that they wanted her to take guys. And again, I think they were saying...
I guess
saying,
they're pro-polygamy and anti-gay.
So that's a stance that one could take, I suppose. Over in New Jersey, 2 months after the New Jersey Senate failed to pass our home state of New Jersey. You know who else lives in New Jersey?
Who?
Mandy Filer.
Really?
2 months after the New Jersey Senate failed to pass a bill to legalize marriage equality, gay rights advocates are heading back to the state Supreme Court. Lambda Legal and the Garden State Equality will officially announce their plans tomorrow. The case will draw from the 2006 ruling by the New Jersey Supreme Court that ordered the state to issue marriage licenses or civil unions to same-sex couples. The state settled on civil unions, but advocates have argued that their unions are separate, but they are not
unequal.
So, yeah, so they're going to go back to court in New Jersey, and let's see what they can do. Happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way, Rebecca Sheehan.
Thank you.
This is like you're Irish.
Ken, not Sheehan.
I feel I could be Irish.
I do have Irish roots.
So did you eat haggis?
That would be Scotland.
Oh. And on that note, we're going to play a song. This is a song called Little Boys. Yeah, I'm trying. I'm really doing my research for our shows these days.
Yeah.
Really a cultural mecca here in my head. Where this is a song called Little Boys and Dinosaurs by Cassidy Haley.
I've been staring at so pretty, and the girls are prettier still.
Was Little Boys and Dinosaurs by Cassidy Haley, tonight's guest, calling in just a few, but a few more news stories before we get to that.
Do we have any good news?
We do have good news. A new report shows that support for same-sex marriage among college freshmen has increased by 13%. Now, Becca, that's not that same-sex marriage among college freshmen has increased 13%.
They're not getting married at a
The story is that their support of same-sex marriage has increased, according to a higher...
Since when?
Well, I'm going to tell you. According to the Higher Education Research Institute, acceptance of gay marriage among first-year students is higher than almost all other groups sorted by race, religion, and political leanings. 69% of college freshmen support gay marriage, up from 56% in 2000. That's actually pretty good.
That
Better than that
good.
Other statistic a few weeks ago when it was, it's gone up a percent in 30 years. Since the survey
Maybe
began...
Maybe that was just people, you know, leaving this planet.
Oh, so the dead people who disagreed are gone? That's great.
Wait,
Becca.
That's not what I said.
Statistically sound. Since the survey began asking in 1997, research indicates that support for same-sex marriage has jumped 21% among left-leaning students, 16% among moderate students, and 2% among right-leaning students. So support for gay marriage. And that's really cool because
one of the
questions that I know we've talked about with a lot of our guests is, how often when talking about gay marriage are you engaging college students and high school students in that conversation? Are they invested? Are they not invested? And so this poll clearly shows that they certainly support it. So there's some ground there. Over in the anti-bullying world, in one of the first cases in California to examine the issues surrounding free expression and online bullying, a state appeals court said this past Monday that anti-gay threats posted on the web are not protected speech. So the case involves a 15-year-old boy, a former LA high school student who sued classmates for posting anti-gay messages on his website in 2005. The suit contended that the messages constituted hate crimes and defamation, but one of the defendants said that the messages were protected by his right to free expression. But in a 2-1 ruling on Monday, the Second District Court of Appeals in L.A.
said
nope, no.
You're wrong.
They said you're wrong. They said the violent language of the message, threatening to rip out your heart and feed it to you. Okay.
Wait, what?
Apparently that's okay.
That's a little
not really freedom of speech, folks. And pound your head in with an ice pick. Well, that's not good. And it conveys a harmful intent that is not protected by the right of free speech. So for future reference.
Just for future reference.
The pounding your head in with an ice pick. That's not
protected.
Not protected. So good stuff. All right, we're going to play one more song, and then we're going to talk about some other things. little wholesome ditty called Whiskey in Churches, just in time for St. Patrick's Day by Cassidy Haley, who's going to be calling in.
Don't you just blame the Irish for that.
I don't know. No, I wasn't even making that connection. I was just saying it was a holy tune about Whiskey in Churches. So last night, have you ever seen The Millionaire Matchmaker? You totally haven't.
No.
So no, in addition to catching up on my RuPaul's Drag Race, which I watched last night, which was, it gets better and better. It gets better and better. My new favorite is Pandora Box. So we're going to try to get Pandora Box on the show.
Okay.
So that's my favorite from this season. Last season, as we know, I love Angina. I love Jade, yes, both on the show. But the other one I love, the other drag queen I love, Tammy Brown, who I reached out to, who hopefully will be on the show as well. So anyway, I was watching The Millionaire Matchmaker last night. And it's this show where this woman finds love for millionaires, hence the name Millionaire Matchmaker. And one of them was gay, and he was, it's so funny, on the Advocate homepage right now is an interview with him before, I guess, he saw the show airing. And he was saying, well, I hope they portray me in a good way. They did not.
No.
It did not go well for him at all. He was just, I'm eco and I need to find someone who's eco-friendly and I'm eco and don't you dare eat red meat on this date. Are you serious? And I'm so beautiful and I'm eco. And then he just got called out and said, well, how are you so eco? Well, I drive a hybrid. Okay.
And that was it?
It's pretty much it. But it did not do well.
He was a vegetarian?
No, it was that red meat is not eco. So he made his date order the chicken. Not a great depiction of a gay man. But in the same way, any depiction
and
is great.
And yet you enjoyed it.
Oh, I enjoyed it immensely.
I could tell.
Very attractive, so that was fine. Anyway, let's play one
more
song.
Did you hear that? It doesn't matter how we're portrayed as long as they're hot.
No way. No way. We're going to play one more song by Cassidy Haley, and then we're going to welcome him to the show. This is a song called Burn.
Burn us down and carry us on high. Burn through the flesh and bones, but leave behind this ancient soul and leave those naked wounds exposed. Tonight we
Good stuff. All right, you ready to welcome a guest?
I am ready.
Guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
Am I the guest? Yeah.
You are the guest.
That's a good check-in. Tonight's guest, Cassidy Haley, is a musician, an artist, a songwriter, a fashion designer, an entrepreneur, and above all else, he is a storyteller. He has his own fashion label. He's got his own online magazine that we're going to talk about. He's done so much. You can follow him on YouTube in the 6 months to become a superstar. His music video, Whiskey in Churches, which we've already played that tonight, is burning up the logo charts. Cassidy Haley, welcome to the show, Is So Gay.
Hello.
How are you?
Welcome.
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Are you out celebrating?
No, I'm in the studio, actually, finishing up my first single for the new album.
What? And what is it called?
Spindle is the first single, and I shot the music video a few weeks back, and getting ready to launch it. So.
All right. Are you excited?
I am. I'm really excited. It's coming out really, really good.
Okay. Awesome. This is good.
Are you getting any sleep?
Yeah, you could say that.
All right, Cassie, we have so much to talk about. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so I was reading Catalyst earlier today. Tell everybody about Catalyst if they've not checked it out yet.
Well, Catalyst originated as a street team newsletter. And I have this amazing woman in New York who was editing the street team newsletter, Anne Marie. And one day I was just kind of like, you know what, this should really just be a magazine. And so she was really into it, and so we started putting it together, and I started looking for people that I found interesting to write columns and fan doing like a little fan section and everything. So just kind of evolved from there, and seemed like a good way to introduce new photo shoots that I was doing. And you know, Oprah was a big inspiration of mine for the magazine. I love how she puts herself on the cover each month.
Love that.
So I figured, why not?
Well, so now in there, there's kind of a Dear Abby moment. It's Dear Cassidy.
Yes.
With a letter written to you by a 15-year-old, yes. Concerned about his relationship with his mother and concerned about his classmates taunting him. And that's something we talk about a ton on this show. And you had some great insight just talking about whether you could be a hero or a victim. Tell our listeners all about that.
Well, I've really found within myself that there's these two sides of me, and you know, I'm a big comic book buff, so I kind of think of everything in those terms, and I found that there was that when I was really concerned with, when I just was really focused, like, in this almost, like, selfish way on myself, like, how everything was relating to me,
right?
You know, whatever people said or whatever's going on, that I just fell into this, like, victim pattern where everything was happening to me. And then there was this other side of myself where it was really about the other, you know, like thinking of other people and how I could best, you know, just be of service to the world and to the people around me. And when you start thinking like that, it just really shifts everything. It's like kind of like it's this way of just being empowered in the world, you know, like what, instead of like, how is this affecting me? It's like, well, how can I just make the best of this situation?
There you go.
Right.
Well, it was good. I thought what you wrote was great. Is that someone you heard from again after you've published that?
No, actually, I don't think so. I think that, I mean, we were corresponding via email. So,
gotcha.
You know, I added that section because I just kept getting all these emails of people wanting advice, and it just seemed like a really good format to kind of, you know, and a lot of different emails were similar, you know, similar questions about things. And so I figured I could just kind of like, you know, sum it all up with one letter, because there's a lot of people that probably feel that same way, you know, and might have, you know, benefit from the same kind of advice.
And you have to know that putting stuff out there like that makes a huge difference. It was great to read. It was well said. Well said.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, that's one of my biggest things is I know what it was like growing up as a confused little queer boy, and so I just so want to support all the other confused little queer people out there.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was great. Now, the other thing I was reading earlier today is your blog.
Right.
Now, let's talk. You ready to talk about your blog a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. So, a few months back, not that long ago, we've talked a lot on the show with various different folks just about the relationship between the gay community and body image and how sometimes it's not the most healthy relationship that's out there. And you wrote a great, great blog entry where you were putting forth that I suppose you were taken to task for having all these photo shoots where you have your shirt off and whatnot, and you owned it in just such an awesome way. And I was wondering if you could put that out there for our listeners, what you put out there to the world about just kind of body image and how positive that could be.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, I never really thought about it until people started kind of questioning it or, you know, kind of almost, you know, complaining to me about it. I mean, for me, it was just never really an issue of like performing in my underwear or putting out half of the pictures of me. I mean, it was just kind of what I wanted to do and just what came natural and fun for me. And then I started to realize that a lot of people just would, you know, don't understand how that could be a healthy thing, because in our society we're so accustomed to this shame of self, you know,
right.
the body, and anytime it just, there's this assumption that anytime anybody is free with their body and their sexuality, there must be some deep-rooted issue or some, you know, like negative connotation to it. And so in the blog, I just really wanted to clear it up that, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. And it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm trying to get attention or, you know, all this other stuff, which, you know, sometimes I am trying to get a little attention.
Right.
I think, you know, it's like that there's just this, I see a world where people's bodies are not something to be ashamed of. And, you know, it's like, that's kind of what I was trying to
do. That's good stuff. Now, but in the most recent blog entry, now, the subject was healthcare, but I'm going to take, it's kind of funny when you tell a guest in advance.
But I don't think
we
can read the headline on the air.
No, we can't, but we can't. But this is fun to tell a guest, and I'm going to take your comments completely out of context. So I'm telling you in advance, and I feel like that makes it okay.
Those are just rants. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm writing.
Well, this is a good rant, because I think we can apply it to something else. So this is our guest tonight, Cassidy Haley, writing about President Obama, and he wrote, quote, "One day our country will get it right, and when our children look back at your presidency, do you want them to say he fought for real change, and though it wasn't easy and he didn't always win, he always stood for what was right?" Now, yes, the topic was healthcare, but it struck me that in all of our conversations that we've been having week after week about President Obama and his some perceived lack of action on behalf of the gay community, that I was kind of applying it in that context. And I'm wondering where your satisfaction level is with President Obama in other areas outside of healthcare.
Right.
You know, I guess, I haven't thought so much about it or read up about it. I mean, for me, just, you know, I've been hearing about healthcare and the public option, so that's kind of what I've been thinking about. And in terms of, like, say, what's happening with gay marriage and his stand on that, I have to confess, I'm not super up to date.
Yeah.
On what he's doing. It doesn't, you know, I guess, you know, I'm a little more forgiving on that. Like, I see that he's got things that are right on the forefront of his plate, you know.
Absolutely.
And so I'm, you know, if another 2 years passes and if gay marriage was on the table right now and he was making some stand about it and making some decision that I didn't agree with, I would be a lot more passionate about it. But I'm willing to let him, you know, deal with what's in front of him right now. You know, because, I mean, I understand you got to focus. You know, it's not like you can hit everything all at once. It's just like, you know, it's a lot. So.
Well, if you ever feel the need to get informed in a fun way, once a week there's this radio show.
It's us.
Oh, okay.
We'll be your source of information.
We do the recap.
Now, we actually have not talked about comic books in over a year, I feel like, on the show. We talked about it with a guest over a year ago. What do you think the gay community, there's a hugely strong relationship between the gay community and comic books.
Funny, I've thought a lot about that, and I actually, for the next issue of The Catalyst, I'm interviewing the writer and artist for Wonder Woman.
Really?
Who happens to be a gay man. And one of the questions I asked him was, what do you think about the relationship between, you know, homosexuality and comic books and this deep, intimate relationship that a lot of queer people identify with the idea of the superhero and being different and having to hide their identity and that sort of thing. So that's definitely, that was my inquiry to him. I wanted to get his thoughts about it. And I know for me, my growing up and reading X-Men and all the other comic books that I read, I think unconsciously that played a huge role in it. You know, it's like wanting to be the best and feeling like you have this side of yourself that's special and different and yet something that people don't necessarily accept. So
that was huge for me. I have to
yeah.
say, X-Men was just, it was huge for me. Yeah. And I think exactly for what you said, it was just, well, I have this secret. We haven't talked about this?
I never thought about it that way, no.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
It was very formative for me. Very formative for me.
Yeah, and so actually, if you, you know, in the one of the questions was posed, like, does the industry know about this relationship between homosexuality and comic books? And are they aware of it? And if so, you know, like, what do they think about it? Do they support it? Do they promote it? You know, that sort of thing. So I'm really curious to hear. I haven't actually seen his responses yet, but I'm really curious.
Oh,
I'll find out in the next issue.
Yes.
We're all going to have to check out the next issue of Catalyst. Now, one more thing. On your website, now this is great, because this is not on everybody's website, and I have to question why. It gives us an opportunity to get to know you in a different way. You do have a link on your website that's called Give Back.
Yeah.
And on there, I think there are three great links, two in particular that I know quite well. Why do you link up to the LA Gay and Lesbian Center and the Trevor Project on your website?
Well, the LA Gay and Lesbian Center is, it's where I go to get tested, and they offer these amazing free services to everybody in the city, and so it's really close to home for me, you know, and last summer I did this campaign called the Hugs and Kisses Army, where we did a bunch of nightclub fundraisers for the Gay and Lesbian Center, and as part of that, when I was starting that project, I went and got a tour of the facilities, and just to hear all the stuff that they're doing for the community really turned me on to the whole thing. It was like, you know, they have this whole part with homeless youth where they can go and they have like 15 beds of people that where gay youth can go and be supported and kind of start a life, you know, anew.
Absolutely. Or,
yeah.
And then the Trevor Project is, I was saying about speaking to the gay youth in the country. I just think that what they're doing seems to be really, really cool.
Yeah.
And so I want to.
Great organization.
That's awesome.
I adore the LA Gay and Lesbian Center. I got to book my tickets. I'm going out to California again this summer to do that AIDS ride. It's just a great organization. It's a great group of folks. All right, now we got to put you on the spot, sir. Got to ask you a little bit about your music. You okay with talking about your music?
Sure.
Okay. This is the part where you tell our listening audience what some of these songs say about Cassidy Haley.
Okay.
The first song we play tonight, Little Boys and Dinosaurs. What does Little Boys and Dinosaurs say about Cassidy Haley?
What does it say about Cassidy Haley? Well, I think it says that, you know, I struggle with becoming a man, and it says that I've had to make some tough decisions in life about what direction I want to go, and it says that I'm not afraid to confront those things head on.
Great.
Yeah.
That was good. Okay. Two more. We got two more for you. What does Whiskey in Churches say about Cassidy Haley?
I love how you're posing that, because you could just say, what is it about?
No. I want to know what it says about
you. No, this is a psychoanalyzing.
that's different. I like it. So, Whiskey in Churches, what it says about me is that I see a relationship with God in everything in this life, including some experiences and lifestyles that may be considered, you know, the antithesis of God and spirituality. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time in my life kind of going down a path where I spend a lot of time drinking and looking for sex and going out and partying. And what that song says is that even in those, you know, almost entirely seemingly unspiritual practices, that there's still the potential for spirituality in that, you know, and the epiphany, and it's kind of like whatever route it takes to find your own spirituality is completely justifiable.
Nice.
You know?
Nice. Yeah. This is good. This is good. All right, we got one more for you. And this is my favorite song. Tell us about Fly.
Well, that's actually, you know, for me, that song is really the song that I wrote during those moments where I decided to pursue my dream of music. It was at a point where I'd been really distracted with my clothing company for quite a long time.
Right.
And I just realized that it's like, what the heck am I doing in this world if I'm not doing what I love to do? And so it was just like, it was time to hit it or quit it, you know, time to either like do what I want, what I love, and pursue my dream, my lifelong dream, or I might as well just die, you know?
But you took the leap. Some people don't take the leap, Cassidy. So where can folks go to learn more about you?
Well, my website is probably the hub for all things Cassidy Haley, CassidyHaley.com. I spend a lot of time on Twitter.
Yes, you enjoy the Twitter.
Yeah. And that's been really my main vehicle of communication with my fans. And And a lot of, you know, where my this organization that I've built started from, there was a moment where I, you know, got a large influx of followers, and I started really communicating with them via Twitter and asking them what I thought, you know, what they thought I should be doing, or how, you know, kind of creating a dialogue of what the best way they could support me. And out of that, those conversations, I've built a really, really strong organization that is fueling and moving my career forward. So I owe a lot to that, you know, to that Twitter.
I have to be honest with you, Cassidy. We've been on the show, we've been on the air for a few years now, and you are one of the most accessible guests in terms of you really put the full picture out there. Like, I feel like we can get to know all these different sides of you online,
right.
And it's not just, oh, well, this is what he looks like and this is the song that he sings, but these are organizations you're interested in, here's some feedback, here's a magazine. I really feel like it's a complete picture, which just makes you so much more accessible and, quite frankly, really enhances listening to your music. It's really a pleasure.
Thank you. That's really good to hear. That's one of the things I've been thinking a lot about lately as I'm getting ready to release my new album and, you know, hopefully getting, like, a large new influx of followers with the release of the album. I've been thinking a lot about, like, how do I appear to the outside world? What is, you know, what's going to be... Because it's you know, I'm an artist, first and foremost, and I really present my art purely, but then the other side of that is I am running a business, and there's marketing to be done, and there's PR to be done, and so finding, straddling that balance of, like, how do I market myself while still staying true to my art is something that I've been thinking a lot about. And so your statement makes a difference for me.
Oh, good. Well, are there more YouTube videos in our future?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because that's very enjoyable.
That's great.
It's very fun. Well, Cassidy Haley, it is an absolute treat having you on the show. When will the new music drop?
Well, Spindle will come out first.
Okay.
And that's, you know, it's in the next few weeks. It's coming out pretty soon here. I'm going to release Spindle. So, and then the album's going to come out in June.
All right, folks, you got to go over to CassidyHaley.com. New music coming out. Check out new magazine coming out. Check out new YouTube videos coming out. Cassidy, an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Well, thank you so much. Great talking to you guys.
Keep doing good things.
To you too.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
This is the end, yeah, well, I
That's a tune by tonight's guest, Cassidy Haley. But he is not our only guest of the night.
Not.
We promised people a very special guest, and we deliver. Earlier this month, the Washington State Senate passed HB 2801. We talked about this on last week's show.
Snazzy title.
Well, I think that that's probably not how they market it. A fantastic piece of legislation addressing bullying in schools. Here to talk about that bill is one of its sponsors, Washington State Representative Marco Lias. Representative Lias, welcome to this show, It's So Gay.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
What an absolute treat to have you calling into the show. So tell us, we talked about this last week, but we actually didn't sponsor the bill.
No, we didn't.
So we want to hear from you. Where did this bill come from?
Well, all across the country and in Washington State, we have children in our schools that are being bullied, and quite frankly, it's driving kids out of our schools.
Yeah.
We've heard from kids with disabilities. We've heard from kids of color. We've heard from gay and lesbian teens that their treatment at school discourages them from coming into school each day. And now in this 24-hour era of text messaging and Facebook and all the other tools that we have at our disposal, kids are just being harassed literally day and night. And our schools just don't have the tools, and they don't have the direction to do something about it. And so this bill gives our schools in Washington State some marching orders that we want them to get serious about making schools a healthy place for kids to be, a respectful place for kids to be, so that everyone stays in school, everyone gets the education they need.
So is it safe to assume we're not going to be throwing, like, fourth grade bullies into jail?
No, absolutely not. And in fact, the work of the bill builds on a nationwide, and actually in some respects an international movement, to focus on harassment and bullying, not just in schools, but in the workplace and general society. And there's great examples. For example, in Norway, they have, in their schools, they've tackled this issue. And it's about teaching kids how to be respectful of differences, how to resolve conflicts in a more respectful way. It really is the idea is to be proactive about it. And then ultimately, if there are children that just aren't respecting the rules, aren't respecting their colleagues, then to get tough on them and make sure that they're following the rules and they're treating their fellow students with respect.
Now, Representative, this did not just pass the House and the Senate there in Washington, did it? It passed with some flying numbers.
Yeah, we actually, I mean, part of it is we're taking an incremental approach, so we're not sort of trying to bite off the whole apple all at once, but take it one bite at a time. And this particular step, we were able to get unanimous support out of the House and Senate, which, you know, like most states, we've got some pretty fierce opposition, particularly on equality issues. So I was pleased that we were able to get literally every single Republican and every single Democrat to support.
That's pretty amazing. You do not hear that a lot when you're following politics. You don't hear those words, unanimous vote, very often.
Yes.
No, I don't feel satisfied by hearing you say it was pleased. Did you celebrate? I mean, I feel like there was a big grin.
I was delighted.
There you go.
The challenge is that, you know, because of our budget nightmare here in Washington and across the country, we had to take some key elements out of the bill that I wanted to keep. Basically, the pieces that would have funded curriculum, that would have funded more training for teachers and for administrators. And so I was it was a bittersweet victory because I was happy to take a step forward, but I knew we could have done more if we'd had a little bit more resources. So I'm cheering, but I'm also, as I said to the House the day we passed it, you know, this is just step one, and I'm going to be working on this a lot longer until we solve the problem, and that's going to take time and energy and effort. So
great. Can you flesh out the details a little bit about what step one looks like? What is that going to do?
Well, and I should say this is really step two. Step one was in 2002. The legislature passed a requirement that every school district in Washington have an anti-bullying policy. So we have pretty, I don't know what the system is in Vermont, but we have pretty strong local control of schools. Our school boards and school districts get to decide the kind of rules of the game and in individual schools. And so we told them then to implement these policies. We had one of our policy institutes at Washington State University look into this issue in the meantime and found that, you know, the application of the law that was passed in 2002 has been really uneven. In urban areas where people get this, and there's resources in larger school districts, there's been some good efforts, but in small school districts and rural areas, the application's been really, really haphazard. And so the bill this year, sort of the second step, says every school district has to have a minimum standard, and we set out in the law what the policy has to have as a minimum. And then we tell every school district that they have to put somebody in charge of the policy. So a lot of districts just sort of adopted it and said, you know, c'est la vie, we're going to keep on going.
Right.
And parents and teachers and students, no one knew where to go
right.
if they needed help. So we told them they need to designate somebody that's responsible. And then we've told our state Department of Education to really start working on ongoing steps moving forward. What are we going to do to really tackle this issue in the future?
This is huge.
That is pretty huge.
This is huge.
Can you imagine what the world would be like if more people were...
Yeah, if we had this in every state. Now,
more
it
people
not,
are free of bullies or weren't...
It has not yet been signed into law, correct?
It hasn't. The governor has, you know, I think she has a week or something like that to sign it. So, but the fact that it came out unanimously, we have every expectation that we have a great governor, that she will sign this into law and will take sort of one small step on the issue and continue to work on it.
Now, of course, I'm telling you in advance, the next step is going to be, and not just because I wrote my whole dissertation on this, but the next step is going to be whether or not when your students there in Washington and everywhere else are saying, calling things gay, whether or not that's going to count as bullying. I vote yes if I have any sway in Washington State.
Well, and I think certainly teachers are sort of growing up and awakening to the fact that this is really... That's an adjective or an exclamation that really isn't appropriate in schools, especially since we actually have kids that are out in high school these days. When I was in high school, I think we had like one out
right.
kid in the whole school of 2,000
right.
people. Now it's really become more of a fixture of schools, and so it was inappropriate before, but now that we've actually got kids that are gay and lesbian in our schools, it's even more inappropriate. So I'm not going to be out there policing every hallway, but we're trying to get teachers to be more aware of this and recognize that the fact that kids are dropping out isn't just because they can't learn. It's because they're literally being driven out
exactly
by their peers, and that's just not appropriate.
Well, while we have you on the phone, and I'm telling you, it's just an absolute thrill to have you to talk with you on the phone. Talk to our listeners about how they can use their voice. Now, you've gone one route. You've been elected. You were appointed. Then you were elected. So you've gone one route to get your voice out there and to make a difference in the world. And we get all these emails from folks who want to make a difference, but they're just not sure what to do. What advice would you give our youth, adults, whoever's writing in and listening, and saying, well, I want to make a difference too. What can I do?
Well, the first step is registering to vote and just voting. I mean, that is literally the easiest, simplest thing that every citizen can and should be doing, and yet over half of our fellow citizens don't do it. So if you're not registered to vote and if you're not voting regularly, shame on you. You really don't have a lot of room to complain about what's going on.
So
that's the easy first step, that you got to check that box. Then after that, you know, it really is a question of, are you concerned about a particular issue? Are you a LGBT activist that is concerned about marriage equality? Or are you concerned about 10 different issues? And then you got to find your medium. If you're interested about in a broad span of issues and getting involved in a political party that takes on multiple issues, maybe the best venue. If you're someone that's concerned about a particular issue, you might join your local equality organization or join the HRC, things like that. So I think you've got to figure out what it is you really care about, how much time you have to give. And then there's multiple opportunities to get involved. There's volunteer organizations, there's political organizations, and all of them need help. It's just a question of what motivates you, what drives you, and then how much time and energy are you willing to give to it. And then ultimately, the best way to get involved in these issues is to become my friend on Facebook and to support me.
Nice.
That's like the number, after voting, that's number two.
That was well done.
That was
I
well
must
done.
I say that was pretty smooth. So now, what term are you elected to? When is re-election? What's next?
I'm up every other year. Just like the U.S. Congress, our state house here in Washington's up every other year. So I'm up this fall. I've got an opponent already, and I will be hitting the campaign trail as soon as our legislative session is over. Try and convince people to send me back.
Are you excited?
I am. You know, we had a pretty grueling legislative session as we saw, you know, a budget deficit for a second year in a row because our economy continues to be in the tank. So I'm ready to get out of Dodge and stop talking about budget deficits and start talking about jobs and education and the things that people at home care about. So.
Now, how can we just show up, Becca and I, at the polling boxes and vote for you? Is there something we can do?
Well, you know,
I think we'd have to move.
Rural Vermont, it's going to be a little tough, because you do have to be a Washington resident to vote.
Do you
think we could
rules.
Be made honorary These hall rules. Monitors of bullying in Washington State?
You know, we should think about that. I think for, perhaps a $50 contribution to Equal Rights Washington, we could make you an honorary, hall monitor for us.
I'll do it. Now, I have to tell you, I will soon be spending quite a bit of time in your state because my sister and her family are moving there. So when I'm there, I'm going to get them to campaign for you as well.
Good. Where are they moving to Seattle, or do they know yet?
Oh, there are other places in Washington? That's a joke, folks. Our Washington listeners, we're just kidding. There are all these different places in Washington other than Seattle.
There are.
Including Edmonds, where I live.
Exactly. So now, you tell us a little bit about that area. Is it more on the rural side? What is it like there?
No, it's very suburban.
Very suburban.
In fact, we are kind of there's Seattle, then there's one suburb, and sort of we're the second suburb out from that. So it's more sort of a cross between urban, suburban. It's a great sort of bedroom community. Most people live and work or live in Edmonds, work in Seattle, or work on the east side of Lake Washington, which is where Microsoft and the tech folks are. And luckily, being from the most urban part of a suburban county, we are also really so pro-choice, pro-equality. Referendum 71, if you were following, was our ballot initiative here to grant domestic partnership rights to folks, and it got the strongest margin in my county in the area that I represent. So I feel pretty thrilled to, as a gay person, to be representing a suburban district, which is kind of rare, but one that really cares about equality, cares about the stakes of everybody in our community. So I'm pretty lucky to have a pretty awesome place to live and also work and represent.
Now, your sexual orientation has not been made a campaign issue, has it?
Well, I've only run once really in a high-profile kind of partisan race. When I ran for city council, it certainly wasn't an issue. But when I ran for election after being appointed last time, I didn't have a really sophisticated opponent that had a lot of opportunity to make that an issue. This time, we'll see what happens. But I think considering that 62% of my constituents supported domestic partnership rights, I think that they're okay with having a gay person representing them, because they certainly were supportive of giving us equal rights. So
right.
I look forward to, and like most gay elected officials will tell you, I'm not a gay representative, just like my colleagues aren't straight representatives. We're just people that do the job, and it's part of my background, part of my values that I bring with me. But I'm here to work on education and transportation and so many other issues. And if I have a chance to support civil rights for anyone in our state, I certainly take the opportunity. But so many times we tried to get cubbyholed as one thing or another. And I try and remind people that there's a lot more to someone than who they like and who they don't like. So.
But that said, sir, you truly are an inspiration for being an out politician, especially these days I think it was just, was it today or yesterday that they came out with some horrible articles of just about some anti-gay gay politicians, and the climate is not great right now.
No.
So you have to know that you are inspiring the masses in being an out politician.
Well, it doesn't feel inspirational. I just feel like I'm doing my job and trying to help the people in my community. But I will tell you that it is very cool to get email messages from, 14, 15-year-old kids who live in my community and feel like they're struggling to figure out who they are, and to be able to tell them that, I was there a few years ago and look where I am now, and if you just keep your head held high and keep fighting, you too can achieve great things. So,
look at that.
From that perspective, I love the opportunity to tell my story, and if that helps anybody out there, keep their chin up and keep focused on their goals in life, all the better. So.
Well, I don't think it's going to help you much, but you got our vote. You got our vote.
Well, if this whole Washington thing doesn't work out, maybe I'll show up there in southern Vermont and see if I can make a go at it.
Come on
Sounds
over.
Good. Yeah.
Come on over. So now how should folks learn more about you and the work that you're doing?
Where can they send all the fan mail?
Well, Facebook truly, for folks that, are online types, is a great medium. I try and keep my site updated with what I'm working on. Or then I've got a regular website, markolias.com. You'll have to spell that out. M-A-R-K-O-L-I-I-A-S. It's a great Finnish name. But that's my personal website where I try and post stuff as well. And I'm a child of the internet era, so email and online stuff works the best for me.
Well, Representative Leas, this HB 2801 is going to make such a huge difference. Yes, it's going to keep kids in school. I have no doubt this is also going to save some lives.
That's what we can all hope for.
Thank goodness. We'll make sure to put some links up so people can reach you easily.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would love it. And stay in touch. And I'm glad to know that you guys are doing the show and getting the word out to people. I'll have to pay more attention now.
Oh, sir. Right. Thank you so much. You're doing great work. You are doing great work.
Keep up the good work there in Vermont.
Thank you. All the best to our friends in Washington.
All right. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Right back at you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
How cool is that?
So cool.
Love that. I just love that we are living in an age. I know people are very down sometimes on the internet age.
And the future is now.
The future is now. I love that we last week could read about a bill in Washington State.
And then bam, he's here and talking to us.
Representative Marco Leas is calling into our show from Washington
State.
And
then bam, it's going to be on iTunes.
It's just very cool.
It's very cool.
I just feel very connected now with the other side of the country.
Well, I just discovered Skype and video chat with my friends who I miss so much. And then bam, they're right there. They don't have a back to their head or anything, but they're there.
This is good stuff. This is good stuff. So that's what's going on in the world. We have amazing, amazing guests coming up. So you got to stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. Listen to past shows. Go to our podcasts. You can go on to Facebook and join our Facebook group there because you'll get some updates. Not that often. Four times a year you get an update. It's a quarterly. And during the show, we are a live show. Sometimes folks forget that.
Sometimes we don't.
Sometimes we forget that. But our screen name is This Show Is So Gay. But the most important thing is that you send us an email at thisshowisogay@aol.com. That's thisshowisogay@aol.com. And let us know what you're thinking. If there's a guest you want to hear about, if you want to vent about something that's going on in your life, if there's a story you really want us to cover, make it gay, make it queer related, and we'll get it on the air. That's what we do. So thisshowisogay@aol.com. And then next week, I will tell you.
We'll accept photos of your dogs, cats, tortoises, too. You know, that's kind of exciting.
We'll describe them on the air here on our radio show. We could even get them on our website somehow. But I am telling you, I'm calling this out. I suspect that next week we will have a huge, huge announcement. So I'm just putting that out there. So next week, you are definitely going to want to tune in, but you tune in anyway. Subscribe on iTunes. Sometimes folks forget to hit the refresh button on their podcasts. I know I do. And if you have your subscription set up that way, that's the only way to get new episodes of This Show Is So Gay. So learn all about us, thisshowisogay.com. Get in touch with us, and that's pretty much it. So as Cassidy Haley puts himself out there, as Representative Marco Leas puts himself out there, use your voice. You have a voice. I just finished reading this book, Making the Impossible Possible.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm feeling very inspired right now.
Uh-oh.
And this is...
Well, I'm going to pause your inspiration.
Oh.
Because we forgot to mention that the Women's Film Festival in Brattleboro is going on right now.
It is.
Right now. So check it out. Schedule's online.
Women's Film Festival.
Yeah.
And you can just, if you just Google Women's Film Festival in Brattleboro, or if you just go to, is it playing at the Latches?
Yeah, it's at the Latches. I think the Hooker Dunham has
some
things going on.
There's stuff going on in your community, folks. And if there's not, you can do it. You can show a film festival is one of the easiest things to put together.
Yes.
It's still a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But in terms of getting folks to come out, it's a great thing to do. So put together a queer film festival. Put together a women's film festival. Do something. And you will feel fulfilled. So that's pretty much it on our end. Any last words?
Nope.
Okay. Have a great week, folks. Have a great weekend. We leave you with a little bit more, Cassidy Haley. And remember, above all else, why be gay when you can be
so gay?
get? Will you love me?